Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Oh, amen. Just quickly take a seat. If this is the first time you've ever been to Kingdom Faith Church, just raise your hand for us, will you? Wherever you are, the first time you've been here, there's some guys down in the front here, some others. Just raise your hand. Somebody just in the back there or halfway. You're really welcome. Let's welcome them this morning, shall we? Somebody else over there. It's great to see you this morning. And everybody who is watching with us on the stream, we want to welcome you from around the world, particularly the Italians. But everybody who's joining with us this morning, it's great to be alive, isn't it? It's great to be back. We had an awesome time in Israel. Who went to Israel? Who came with us on the trip? There about 30 of us who went. We had an awesome time. And some of the things we did, we met up with some of the people we're supporting as a church, just to encourage them, pray with them, strengthen them, build further relationships. And it's awesome to see what God is doing in the land of Israel, the way that things are changing there. People are getting saved, both Jews and Arabs, and bringing, real reconciliation in that land. There's a long way to go, but God is doing a lot. New things are just beginning to break open in the land of Israel, in that nation. So if you haven't been, how many have not been to Israel? Then you need to get over there sometime if you can. There's a trip in November with some places left. There's one or two places next month. One lady said the other day, who's at the Bible College, she just knew God was saying to go. So she booked her place to go. The next day, she got a gift of £1,500 in to pay for that and everything that she needed to go to Israel. So, Jane and I have had the same experience. Other people have. When God says to do something, He always provides for it. We're going to be doing some more trips next year. So we want every single person as part of Kingdom Faith Church here, at least here in Horsham, to go to Israel sometime in the next couple of years to see for yourself what God is doing, how He's changing lives, bringing about His purposes, encounter God for yourself in the land and get His heart for what He's doing, because what happens there affects every one of us here in our lives. That's the end of that advert. Amen. Great. Well, it's awesome to be back. Now, this morning, everybody say, save yourself.
Save yourself.
Just turn to somebody else and say, save yourself. From this corrupt generation. Okay, just turn to somebody and say, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Okay, now most of you probably think you are saved already and you might have been saved in terms of born again, but there is a battle that goes on every day for your life and my life and for the life of every person out there. And Jesus is the only one that can save, but when we're going to look at some things in Acts chapter 2 this morning, have a few little actors and actresses, people involved to help us to remember it, visualize it so you don't drop off to sleep in the next 20 minutes. But we always talk about Jesus is the one that saves us, but there was something in the first gospel message that was preached after they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the early believers, where Peter stood up and as part of what he said, he declared, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Now we're going to look at some of that this morning, but first of all, I need some people to help me. Who would like to be Peter this morning? Obviously, nobody. Pete Waterman. Well, you are Peter anyway. Let's welcome Peter, shall we? Okay, I need about 20 other people, young and old, whatever age group, about 20, 25 people. So quickly come down if you want to be involved. You're going to be the early church, the people that get baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. How many of you would like that? Oh, at least the kids want that. Come on. I don't know about the rest of the adults, maybe need a few older people, one or two older people. Have we got any enthusiasm here this morning? Hi there, man. Great to see you. Come on. One or two other older people. One or two other older people. Cool. Yeah. You have to. Right. Brilliant. Now, Okay, so we have Peter. We have, just imagine there's about 120 here, and amongst that, the apostles and everything, okay? And these guys, they were in the upper room. And during the time they were in the upper room, they were praying together and just pray. Hey, can I ask you a question? Why'd you do that? And go like that. Okay, when Jesus prayed, he lifted his hands up to heaven. So everybody just pray like, you know, okay, so you're praying together. Welcome. And it said, then suddenly a sound like the rushing of a mighty wind came upon them, and the Holy Spirit filled them, and they all began to speak in other tongues. Come on. I hear some French there. The French are going to get saved. I hear a bit of German. The Germans are going to get saved. And every other nation on the planet. Right. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews. Man. I think you need some pep pills this morning. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under the sun. When they heard this sound, a crowd came to gather in bewilderment. Everybody be bewildered. That's better. Because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed. Be utterly amazed. They asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Then it says a whole bunch of things. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Now you've got to do this both at the same time now. Amazed and perplexed, all at the same time. They asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them. They have had too much wine. Now, you guys, you've got to look a little bit like you've had too much wine for a minute, okay? Okay, all right. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Come slightly forward, sir. Just a few of you, not all of you, but a few of you gather around Peter. Okay, right. Well, they speak other languages, so they might not understand mine, but anyway. Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem.
Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem.
Let me explain this to you and listen carefully to what I say.
Let me explain this to you and listen carefully to what I say.
Now, a few weeks before this, Peter had denied Jesus when just one or two individuals had asked him, aren't you one of his followers? Haven't you been with him? And three times he denied Jesus within a few minutes. And within a few weeks of that situation, or well, a few days of that situation, suddenly the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter, and he changes from being timid and fearful into somebody who is bold and courageous. The Holy Spirit's come up. He stood up and he addressed all of these people boldly and said, hey, I've got something to say. You need to listen to me. Now, he got the attention of the crowd and he basically preached the gospel, quoted from the prophet Joel, quoted from David. But he basically gave a very kind of short message, brought in the cross of what Jesus has just done for them. And listen to this, because you guys have got to respond to this, okay? Therefore, this is Peter, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now, you've got to sound like you've been cut to the heart when you respond, okay? You ready? Go.
Brothers, what shall we do?
When Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So whoever's not been baptized this morning, you have the opportunity. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now, Peter probably didn't realize he was saying something prophetic then, because he needed a bit of a revelation a few chapters later that the gospel could go to the Gentiles. But basically he's saying that the gospel's for you guys here, the Jews, but it's also for people all over the world that God is going to call, both Jew and Gentile. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them. Just look like you're warning him and pleading with him. He said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation.
Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.
Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Everybody go. Everybody say, that includes me. So you've all just been saved. Yeah. And you're still sitting down. You've just been saved. Yeah. Now, it says here that Peter said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Interesting statement, that one. Now, we're going to do something else just to help illustrate a point. Firstly, let's thank all of these guys. Okay, you can just sit on the steps, you guys, for a minute. Peter, you need to stay up here. Okay, now, Peter declared to everybody, he pleaded with them. When was the last time you pleaded with somebody to give their life to Jesus? Wow. Or are we quite nice these days and trying to put it in a way that people will maybe like it so they kind of get interested in Jesus? This guy pleaded with them, you know, and he says, come on, save yourselves from this corruption. You've got to do something to respond to God's mercy and God's grace. And they were cut to the heart and they cried out, what must we do? Now, the devil, he doesn't care when people aren't saved. He just thinks, well, they're taking themselves to hell anyway, so I don't need to particularly work on them very hard. They're doing a great job for me. Because before you are saved, as we know, we have this thing called the sinful nature. Your nature is to sin. You naturally sin because of your nature. Therefore, everything you do, you can't please God, you're out of God's purposes because you have this nature of sin and you're separated from God, okay? But when you become a Christian, when you come and respond, like I've just heard, repent, then you're turning away from your sinful nature. You're saying, I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to live the life that God has given to me or wants to give me. So you ask him to forgive you, you repent from your sin, you turn around, and then God puts himself inside you. He puts his nature on inside. So instead of naturally now wanting to sin, your new nature says, I want to follow Christ. Because your new nature is the Spirit of God in you, and the Spirit of God wants to reveal Jesus, wants to reveal the truth, and the Spirit of God enables you, gives you the ability to walk with God. Okay? Now, interesting phrase then. Why are we going to talk about save yourselves from this corrupt generation? Well, the enemy is after every one of us because we are now born again. He now realizes because you have God inside of you, you are dangerous for the kingdom of God. Come on. you have now become a threat to him and what he wants to do, because now you are full of God. You now have the Spirit of God in you. You have the light of the world inside you. You now have a massive sign over your head that the devil and every demon can see that says that person is dangerous for the kingdom of darkness, because they now have the kingdom of light inside of them, and we have no hold on them anymore. We have no power over them, because our power has been broken. Our hold has been broken. Now they have the power of God inside of them. We've got to be careful, because they're going to turn our kingdom round and they're going to invade it and take more people out of it and put them into the kingdom of light, because they are full of this power that we just cannot contain, and we cannot beat or defeat. You can cheer and clap if you want. So, what does the enemy try and do then? Okay, Peter, do you want to come down here? Apostle Peter. What does the enemy do? If his sinful nature has been taken out of our lives and we now have a new nature, he can't change that. But what he'll try and do is undermine that, so we don't live according to it. So we don't live in the power of who we are in Christ. That we don't live in the victory of who we are in Christ. So the devil will always want to refer you to your old life and say, it's not really dead and buried. It's not really gone. It's still really alive, and it's still really going to affect you. Now, Peter says, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Now, do you know that as Christians, just because you've given your life to the Lord, you become a believer, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to walk with God. There are a lot of Christians around that attach God to the side of their life and bring him into it when they need him. Rather than he is central to their life and everything they do flows out of that life. Many Christians still live their lives like, I'm living my life, but I want God to bless me and I want God to do the things in me that I want him to do. Like attaching God rather than we are in him and we live from that relationship. And so what does the enemy do? Well, save yourself from this corrupt generation. There's something called the spirit of this age, or the spirit of the world, okay? And the way the devil operates is he begins to, the devil is enticing. He likes to make things enticing. So you could be on fire, you could be moving forward in God, but the enemy, the way he works, he knows he can't defeat you. He knows he can't get a greater victory in your life. He knows he can't take out what you've got inside of you. So therefore he knows, now if I can just undermine them and begin to entice them in some way, if I can just begin to get a little hook into their life in some way, then little by little, what at first tastes sweet then begins to go sour. That's how the enemy works. The enemy will always come slightly enticingly with a little hook that begins to get hold of us. And little by little, at the beginning it tastes very sweet. And it's like, well, this is okay, it's all right. It's not really affecting my walk with God or my relationship with the Lord. It's just, well, it's okay, I can just slack off a bit. And before you know where you are, the sweetness of what he tries to bring into your life suddenly begins to taste sour, because sin will always cause a separation from God in some way. It always causes a sourness, or you lose your peace. There's shame, or there's guilt, or there's pain that begins to come in. Okay, now we're talking about believers here. We're not just talking about this old sin nature. We're talking about the way the devil likes to work in our lives to drag us away from God, because he knows he can't defeat what's inside of you. But if he can undermine it, then he knows he's going to begin to affect you, and you won't be as effective. Okay? Then there's a spirit of this age that is at work. It can work. Let's use this as an example. God might have called you into a certain sphere of life that you might call your career. Now, you can either live your career with God attached to it, or you can live your life serving the King of Kings, but understanding that he's called you to be in that particular place. And therefore, out of that relationship with God, you then live that calling or that role that he's given you. Or you can live it saying, well, this is my career, and I want to do this and do that and be more wealthy or do the other or whatever. And you can get caught up in that and you want God to bless you or attach something to your life so that it goes well with you. Now, that's the difference between the spirit of this age getting hold of you or the spirit of God getting hold of you. You see, when you give your life to the Lord, your life becomes separated from what it was, and you've been now purchased by the blood of Jesus. So therefore, you now belong to Him, not to yourself. So what happens when we let this spirit of the age or spirit of the world begin to affect us? You know, for many people, people want to be included. They want to be cool. The spirit of this age can be addicted to fashion or looking at the shape of your body, whether you feel accepted or not by the size you are or the clothes you wear, or are you thin enough? Are you fat enough? Are you whatever? And there's all of these things out there that are shouting certain things about our life that says, you must be like this, you must look like this, you must wear these kind of clothes, you've got to behave like this, you've got to have a career like that, you've got to be on the in crowds, you've got to say all the right things in the right way. There's so many pressures out there. You've got to be the in crowd at school. You've got to be the cool person. It's not cool to be a Christian or a believer. You've got to keep your mouth shut and fit in and all of that kind of thing. And there's a pressure there that the enemy tries to bring in. So what does he want to do? He wants us to be lukewarm. He says, just calm down a little bit. What is he saying? He's saying, just conform to the way everybody else is. You see, the world thinks they are free because they say, I can do whatever I want when I want, so I'm free. As a Christian, you're not free because you can't have sex before marriage. You can't go and get drunk. You're not free. You have to live according to all these things. But actually, when you're in Christ, it turns it on its head, saying, well, actually, when you look at most people out in the world, they end up that are not saved. Everybody's copying each other. Actually, everybody out there is conforming because everybody's after the next career move or everybody's after the next thing that's going on. So most people out there are conforming to a pattern of life. Whereas for us, it's like, well, I'm free that as a believer, I don't have to have sex before marriage. I don't want to have sex. I'm married, by the way, but before I got married, it was like, well, I don't need to, I don't want to, because I'm not conforming to the world. There's something in me that has set me free from having to conform to the world. Because I'm living for something bigger than just the world says you've got to be like this, you've got to be like that, and you've got to be like the other. So the world ends up conforming. And when you talk with many people that don't know the Lord and you actually just go a little bit beyond the surface, you find out, and you all of us know before we got saved, that you suddenly realize people aren't as free as they think they are. People are dealing with hurts. They're bound up. They're in pain. They feel rejected. There's agony going on inside of their lives. They're depressed. There's a lot of stuff going on, even people that look good on the outside. So many people actually inwardly are struggling with something because the enemy's grabbed hold of their life. But for us as believers, we need to be very, very vigilant in these days. Because Peter shouted out, save yourself from this corrupt generation. We have a responsibility as believers to make sure we continue to keep ourselves saved. Because Jesus has done everything possible to save us, but then we have a responsibility to make choices. Do I want to live free from this corrupt generation, or do I want to play with it, tinker with it, and mess about with it and see what it can bring? There's some awesome things beginning to happen around the world in the church, but particularly amongst this younger generation. Some amazing things going on. There's some moves of God in other nations where these young people are giving themselves to 24-hour prayer. There's like a real movement of purity going on. Not that people are necessarily just preaching purity everywhere, but what the Holy Spirit is doing is there's a purity going on in this younger generation where in their lives they're saying, I don't want to conform to the way the world says. I don't want a hook of the enemy in my life. I don't want to be lukewarm because God has given me a vision to see my generation change, to live for something higher than the world says is as high as you can get. Because the devil wants to say the way the world lives is up here and the way you live as a Christian is down here. It's insignificant. was actually the way we live is called a highway of holiness. Not just the road, but a highway of holiness. And God has called us to live beyond the pressure of conforming to everything that is going on out there. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. God has got awesome plans and purposes for every one of our lives, and we're all walking in those to a certain degree. But you guys up here, you children, God has got awesome things in your life. He's put His Holy Spirit inside of you so that you can serve Him, so that you can see Him do all the things that He wants to do through you and in your generation. The young people here, God has got awesome purposes for your life. And the enemy wants you to just be enticed. The enemy wants you to, he wants a hook in your life. The enemy, little by little, wants to take the heat out of your life. And he wants the world to seem very sweet, but as you give yourself to it, it turns very sour. And we want to be vigilant that we're not in any way, in any age group, in any generation, our church, we're not a lukewarm. In any way, shape or form. Jesus said, you know, it's better to be hot or cold. So better to be cold than lukewarm. Better to actually say, well, stuff God and I'm going to walk the other way. Than actually walk in the middle and say, well, I'm into God, but I'm not really into God. I don't know, that's what the Bible says. Better to be hot or cold than to be lukewarm. Wow. So there's a choice this morning for every person in the room. Do you want to live hot this morning according to the Spirit of God in your life? Or do you want to live cold today and let the spirit of this age run rampant in your life? What do you want? Hot or cold? Because we can't be lukewarm because you get spat out of God's mouth. I don't particularly want that, do you? So he says either be hot with the Spirit of God or cold with the spirit of this age. You cannot be in the middle. You cannot walk a line that says, well, I've got the Spirit of God in me, but I've also got the spirit of this age. You can't walk like that. There is no such thing. Because Jesus said, if you walk like that, I'm going to throw you up. Wow. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Sorry if this is a bit strong this morning with everybody here. But I was just praying yesterday and God said, there's a church, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Don't give anything a hint of something in your life that can try and get you, grab you, motivate you to become lukewarm or cold in your life. Amen. So, what do you guys want? Do you want to be hot or cold?
Hot.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
You want to be hot, dear? Hot or cold?
Hot.
What about you guys? Hot or cold?
Hot.
Save yourself from that. Don't play with what the world plays with.
That's right.
If you begin to play with the flesh, it'll consume you.
Yeah.
It'll have you. And so in these days we're in, we've got to be just daily. Holy Spirit, I want you to be the Lord in my life. The Spirit is the Lord and the Lord is the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want the Lordship of Jesus to rule and reign in me today. I don't want to play with the spirit of this age in any way. There's loads of different ways we can do that through, you know, it's interesting. You can look at anybody, both saved and unsaved, and you can see whether the spirit of this age is at work in their life or not. Ooh, a bit uncomfortable. It's not just people that don't know the Lord yet, but in believers, in Christians, you can look and you can see whether the spirit of this world is at work in them. In some ways, you can hear it by what people talk about and what comes out of them, how they deal with situations and people, what comes out. Now, that doesn't mean the spirit of this age has run rampant in their life, but you can just see where there are little hooks, little enticements, little things out there. And money is one of those things that it's interesting when money comes into something, the reaction that people can have in a situation. And what their response is when you start talking about money.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm not going to give any examples, but there's a few situations that I'm aware of, one or two things with some individuals where there's money involved in something. It's just interesting Some of the response in a situation. It's like, because instead of a generous spirit coming out, there's the spirit of this age that's got hold of them in some way, and suddenly money is beginning to grab hold of them. It's like, that's interesting. We need to cut that at the root. We need to sort that one. Because on one level, you can look like you've got the Spirit of God running riot in your life, but then suddenly something comes up and, this thing pops up. That's the spirit of the world. That's the world's like that. There's a little bit of a greed. There's something that's got hold of your spirit.
Yes. Come on.
And so we want to make sure we save ourselves. This might is opposite to what we normally, because it's very much like God does everything in our lives and all of that. But we have a responsibility to respond to what God does. Turn to your neighbor and say, save yourself from this corrupt generation. What are we saying this morning? Don't say you're a Christian, but live like you're going to hell. That's it. It was a bit strong. But don't, there's some things in our lives, if we're not careful, because we let things have a hook and entice us, and we begin to, where on one level we're like this and that, but then other times we do a few things that live like we're going the other way.
Uh-huh.
God. Going to Israel is great. Because you see what the believers are having to deal with there. Constant opposition, persecution. I mean, we met some young people there, 13, 14, 18, 19. And these young people, they're just passionate about Jesus. They get persecuted at school. They get a hard time saying they're a believer because either it's a very secularized culture over their nation, but also the Orthodox guys, they're really getting pretty strong in persecuting believers. It's increasing, the Orthodox persecuting the believers. But yet these young believers we met in several places, they're just on fire because they realize this is what the spirit of the age is like, and this is what the spirit of God is like, and we want to live fully in the spirit of God. We want to save ourselves from this corrupt generation, but not then look back and judge it, but then like Peter did with such a desire and a longing and a love for the people, save yourselves. But when it comes from the Spirit, what happens? People are convicted, not judged. So Peter preached a pretty full-on message, but yet the people came under conviction, not under judgment. They were already under judgment, because when you're not born again, you're under judgment. If you die today without being born again, it's not a good ending. But because of God's mercy, he's done something on the cross 2,000 years ago that holds back God's judgment to give you an opportunity to respond to his mercy by saying, I repent of my sin. Please forgive me. I want to turn around and follow you, Jesus. Then his mercy impacts your life. You get the forgiveness of your sins. You ask him to come and be Lord of your life. And then his grace kicks in the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you then to live the life he's called you to live. What an amazing gospel. So although God is judge and some those aren't saved are under judgment, his mercy is holding back that judgment to give us time to respond to the goodness of the cross.
Yeah.
That's right.
Pretty awesome. What an amazing God.
Yeah.
Yes. But for us those of us that have been saved, let's not take anything for granted. Let's live our lives and say, right, every day of my life, I'm going to save myself from this corrupt generation. I'm going to make sure that the spirit of this age does not try and entice me, hook me, grab me, make me lukewarm, go off the boil, and all of that kind of stuff. You guys awake up here still? It's quite preachy this morning, isn't it? Is that all right, though? You love sermons? Cool, come on. You can come around my house for dinner then. Great. Not that I preach at the dinner table, but... So you're hot or cold this morning?
Hot.
Right, everybody wants to be hot, jump to your feet then.
Boiling.
Boiling. You want to be boiling, dear? Come on.
Boiling.
You want to be boiling?
You want to be soup boiling.
You want to be soup boiling, all right. Super boiling. Cool. Now we want to be hot as a church, right? Excellent. Now, this morning, you might not know Jesus. You might have come here, a friend or a family, member of somebody who got baptized, and you might not know Jesus, and you're like, "Damn it, you're quite full on, you lot, aren't you?" You know, and lots of jumping and music and all of that, and you'd clap and celebrate everything, and you got quite a direct view on life and everything, but why? Because there's not a lot of time. Time is running out. We are in, we never know how long, but we are in the last days. You know, it's interesting. God seems to be winding things up around the world now. Number of people that we met in Israel, they were saying it, you know, even all the other religions are all saying the same thing. The end of something's about to end. The world's about to end. Now, don't take that as a... But you don't have to really have your head screwed on very much, let's put it that way, to understand that a lot of things are beginning to be wound up. And there's not a lot of time left to respond, to live your life the way God wants. And that's why God is saying, save yourself from this corrupt. Don't mess with the world. Don't play with the world. Just, you know, being I say, when the Spirit of God gets hold of you, you don't care whether you've got the latest fashion or not. That doesn't mean you just look like a whatever. But you can still wear nice clothes, but you're not bound by it. It still means you can be who you are, but you're not bound in the same way as you were. You can still be pursuing what God has called you in your career, but instead of the career you pursuing your career it comes after you because you're there understanding, well, God's put me in this place, and so I don't have to chase after this, that, and the other. If God wants to promote me, He will do. If He wants me to have a pay rise, He will do. If He wants me to do that, He'll sort it. But if you focus and say, I just want to give my life to you every day, Jesus, then He'll take care of where it's going to go. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll help you to make the right choices and decisions. But we don't want the spirit of this age to hook us or dictate anything in our lives, in our homes, workplace, schools, wherever it might be. We want the Spirit of God to be the one who is Lord in our lives. Amen? Let's everybody raise our hands this morning. Come on, just raise your hands to the Lord. Just tell Him what your response is this morning. Tell Him if you want to be hot today. Tell Him if you don't want to be cold. But be honest with Him. If you want to be cold, then tell Him that. Be honest with the Lord. You might feel, I'm nowhere, I just feel cold. But tell Him that this morning. God, I just feel cold. That's where I'm at. I want to be hot, but I don't know how to get there. Holy Spirit, come and do something fresh in my life. If you need to ask Him to forgive you, then do that. If anything's come to mind, God, I've been playing with the world, messing with things out there. I've been letting the spirit of this age entice me and hook me, and I just know I'm lukewarm, or I'm off the boil, or I've just little by little I've tasted this, what I thought was the sweetness of stuff because I thought I'd just enjoy myself for a bit, but it's gone sour inside of me. Forgive me, Holy Spirit, for eating of what is not of You. Restore my soul. Restore my relationship with You. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're not a believer here this morning, you don't know Jesus, you've never given your life to Him, then you can respond this morning just simply by taking a first step and saying, Jesus, I've been living my life my way and not Your way. I repent. I turn around right now and ask You to forgive me for every sin that I've ever done. Change my heart right now. Change me right now. Thank You that You take out that old nature. And I thank You now that You put that new nature in me, the nature of Jesus Christ. Yes. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Yes. Because I want to live for Jesus. Yes. I don't want the spirit of this age any longer. I want the Spirit of God in my life. Yes. Yes. Lord Jesus, I thank You for what You're doing in me right now. That my life will change for eternity because of what You're doing today. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Every day we face choices, all of the time. Sometimes the way we can talk about this sounds like massive, major choices all the time. But there's so many little choices all the time to do with being led by the Spirit or the spirit of this age, trying to somehow, the devil constantly, every day, will be trying to look for a way to try and get your attention to, you know, he's See? Just a little nudge and you look. And he's trying to get our attention all the time. Come on, look at me, look at me. Don't look at Christ, look at me. Because I've got things for you that you'll enjoy a bit more. Just enjoy yourself a bit. You know, maybe when you're a bit older, you can get on fire for Jesus. But while you're a bit younger, enjoy your life. Don't let your teenage years be robbed from you by all this Christian stuff. You know, you just enjoy your life. Do what everybody else does. Have a look at all these guys. Look at the way they're living their lives. And, you know, oh, they're having a great time. But yet, inside, your spirit is going, no, that's not right. I don't want that. Because you're feeding your spirit, worshipping and being part of the body and giving your life to it. It's like, I don't want that. Devil, get lost. You can't have any hold on my life. What's that?
Get a hammer and smash him.
Get a hammer and smash him. Absolutely. So the spirit of this age, it's out there.
That's right.
It's after you. It's after me. But that's not the spirit that you have on the inside of you. The spirit you have on the inside of you is the spirit of Christ. It's a victorious spirit. It's a holy spirit. It's a pure spirit. It's good, isn't it? How many of you want to thank the Lord and celebrate his goodness? Come on, let's have the band up. Let's thank all our actors and actresses, shall we? Thanks, everybody. Cool.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.